Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be looking at 1 John today. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 specifically, along with some other scriptures, but 1 John, chapter 1. I listen to a wide variety of music. Does anybody else listen to a wide variety of music here today? Quite a few different things. Sometimes it's probably a mystery to my wife. So if music like is part of your identity or something, she probably thinks he's just a mess because, like, one theme in common with everything that I like is that I listen to music that is overtly Christian, and that's just me. I don't know that I can point to a verse in Scripture that says, "Thou shalt not listen to anything that sings to your baby instead of Jesus necessarily." But I like music that exalts Jesus and just celebrates who He is, and music of praise and worship. But a variety. I've got old CDs of Christian rap stuff that I still think is really cool. All kinds of, even rock and metal hymns that I like, Celtic music, folk music, just all kinds of different things, including also what I call mountain gospel music. You might think of it as bluegrass. One of the artists that I like a lot, Ralph Stanley. Has anybody else ever listened to Ralph Stanley? From back in the day. And one of the things I like about Ralph Stanley is that with most of his bluegrass music, and he didn't like the term bluegrass for whatever reason, I don't know why, but he called it mountain music or mountain gospel music. One of the things I like about Ralph Stanley is his songs, almost all of them are about Jesus. Almost all of them, he is focused on songs of praising his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for me, I like the way that the music is simple and the way that it just presents Jesus in a very conversational way. A lot of it is about Jesus in my life. This is what it looks like to have Jesus as a friend and to be my Savior. And he's just sharing life and sharing Jesus in his life, which I like that conversational tone to the music. It's very simple, but very beautiful. There's passages in Scripture that, to me, are a little bit like that as well, where it's kind of storytelling, like some of the gospel music. I like the theological parts, too, the parts of Scripture where it's teaching, great theological truths. But I like the parts that are also just like sharing life and sharing stories. And, Jesus did that a lot with his parables and things, just sharing kind of life stories. But one of the passages that I like, and it's I wish it was unpacked more, and I'm hoping in heaven I can talk to the Apostle Paul and hear more about this, but in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul's recounting, and he's talking about the faithfulness of God and the presence of God, and he's saying, I've as an ambassador for Jesus in this world, I've been through all kinds of stuff. And he starts talking about those in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, "Let me tell you, I was shipwrecked 3 times. I'm thinking, wow, I've never been shipwrecked, but I bet that would be interesting to hear about. As I read that, he talks about being robbed. He was on the road, probably going from one town to another to share the gospel with some friends, and robbers beset them and laid upon them. And so he mentions that. He mentions a story about which would make a great bluegrass song, where he was in a city, he was in Damascus, and the king there didn't like what Paul was doing, that he was sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus with people, and so the king was trying to send guys out to capture Paul. And so some people snuck Paul out of the city through a window, there was a wall around the city, and the people let Paul out through that window in a basket. I thought, man, what a great, at least a story on the front porch that I want to hear about. I want to know more about how he got out in a basket. But the neat thing is that in all these stories, God is faithful and that the Lord's present and his grace is sufficient. And I think, that makes for a great song. That makes for a great story. And in my life and in your life, we need to be telling those stories of Jesus' presence each day and our temptations and our failings, how Jesus has loved us, how he's been with us. What a great friend he is to us. You know, I've got some great friends, but if I act stupidly enough, I could probably offend most of my friends enough that they wouldn't want to talk to me for a while. Do you know you can't offend Jesus enough that he doesn't want anything to do with you? I think, man, what a great friend, you know, because sometimes I can be a knucklehead. But he's so good. He's so good and such a faithful friend to us. And so we need to be sharing those stories of our lives. We need to be telling people, here's my life today. And that's kind of hard to do because we're not perfect, except on Facebook. But when we're honest with people, you know, we start sharing with people, here's what's going on in my life. And we share that, but I see Jesus in the midst of it. And we share that with people. It honors God, and it brings hope to people when they can hear about that. So, first of all, I just want to say that God has placed you and I where we are in this time and place for a reason. Because there are people around us that do need to hear our stories about this is what it looks like for Jesus to be in my life. And that goes for people who are fellow believers, and that also goes for people who don't know Christ. That people around us just need to hear the honest truth, not the sugar-coated version where you're perfect, but just the honest truth of this is my life, these are the stories of my life today, and Jesus is in the midst of it, and here's the goodness of that. So we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And I thought about the beauty of that. What if we were all doing that? You know, I love Cracker Barrel. That's no secret. You guys know that. I thought about it before, though, and this is maybe just my weird imagination, but walking into Cracker Barrel before, I thought, how cool would it be if I walked in and sat down and, like, every conversation about at every table with everybody was all joyful conversation about Jesus? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be so cool? Why wouldn't it be that way? You know, what a neat thing that would be. And the truth is that the people around us need for us to be sharing about Jesus. What's going on? Not just truths from Scripture. People need to hear that too. And the gospel message, but just the witness of this for me today. This is what it means for me to walk with Jesus today. And people need to hear those conversations. We are in a world that tries to keep people from engaging in those conversations and from hearing and listening to those conversations. I was reading something from Dr. Tony Evans. And he was talking about distractions. And he said that we are in a world full of distractions, and that's intentional. That Satan likes to put things in our lives, even good things, to get our eyes off of Jesus, to distract us from him. And some of those things, they could be things that aren't inherently bad. It could be social media, it could be music, it can be technology, it can be a lot of things. It could be fishing, you know, it could be quite a few different things that are all bad, but they can be a distraction. If it keeps you to where you're not thinking about Jesus at all, and you're just engaged in different activities that the world's offering, whatever that is, that's a distraction from the enemy to keep you from seeing Jesus' presence and telling people about Jesus' presence in your life. But there is wonderful news. He is present. He is present with us today. And not only is he present, but he, by his Spirit, he lays hold of our attention, divinely at times. And he does that in order that we can recognize that he is with me. He is with me today. And as we recognize that we can start speaking that and reflecting that in our life, and he makes us a witness. Jesus makes us a witness to the people around us to help them see Jesus in their life. I do want to throw out just a word of caution for believers. It's not only people who don't know Christ who get distracted. As followers of Jesus, we can get very distracted sometimes and take our eyes off of Jesus. We can forget the significance of him being with us in our lives and what he's called us to. And when that happens, we can lose the power of our witness. When our life gets distracted from being centered on Christ and our conversations get distracted from being centered on Christ, we can lose the power of our witness. So we don't want to be distracted. We want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. As we get ready to look at 1 John chapter 1 also, I want to clarify a couple things. In Christianese, has anybody been around church long enough that you speak Christianese? You know all the terminology? Yeah, shame on us. We need to unlearn that language and just speak English. Some of the Christianese terminology that we speak sometimes, there's some words that we use. We talk about evangelism. So you guys have heard the word evangelism, being an evangelist, being evangelistic. Evangelism, making disciples. Jesus told us to make disciples. Some of you know that, right? And then being a witness. And sometimes in Christian circles, we kind of confuse the three of these, and we get these muddled. And so I just want to clarify as we get ready to look at 1 John 1, what these words mean, because I think it's helpful. There is a lot of crossover with all three of these things, but they're not the same thing. They're similar, and they have some common ground, but they're not the same thing. So, first of all, evangelism. Evangelism is not the same as being a witness or witnessing. Evangelism comes from the word evangel, which means gospel. So evangelism specifically, although it may entail giving your testimony and some other things, evangelism is specifically sharing the gospel message. I'm going to talk about sin. I'm going to talk about the cross. I'm going to talk about the blood of Christ. I'm going to talk about being made at peace with God and my relationship with Him. I'm going to talk about repentance. That's evangelism, okay? Evangel, sharing the gospel message. Making disciples is different. Making disciples may include that because it may begin with conversion, with sharing the gospel. Somebody puts their trust in Christ and they're saved. But making disciples, and we're going to give you kind of a wordy definition of making disciples, what that means. Being a disciple is somebody of Jesus, is somebody who bases their identity on Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus. That's who I am. You're a disciple. So that's part of it, that your identity is based in the person of Jesus Christ. You've made a decision that you're going to follow Jesus. You've made a decision to learn from Jesus. You've made a decision that I'm going to participate in this, what the Bible calls the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to share Jesus with people. I'm going to help them grow as a follower of Jesus. And part of what's going on is we're a disciple. The Bible says that He's transforming us. He's making us more like Jesus, that we're being transformed to the image of Christ. So being a witness is different. We'll get to that in just a moment. And there is common ground with all of these things. And sometimes I think that we confuse these, and some Christian circles, we really elevate evangelism and forget about being a witness, or we can elevate discipleship and forget about being a witness and what that means. And that's why we want to focus on this today. Being a witness of Jesus Christ is more personal. Being a witness is not necessarily just imparting biblical information and theology. It's about opening up your life to somebody. It's about sharing just the day-to-day, your witness of who Jesus is, shown in your life, and communicating that in conversations with people. It means that you're befriending somebody. If you're going to be a witness, then you're befriending them and sharing with them the friend that you have in Jesus Christ. Being a witness is personal. It's opening up the friend that you have in Jesus, sharing your life. And that's harder to do because you're sharing the mess along with the good stuff. So our prayer today, in this series we've been in, we've had a prayer each week. And our prayer today, along with other prayers you may be praying, Lord, renew my witness. Lord, renew my witness. Help me to live out being a witness, to communicate to other people, because we know the Lord's with us, right? We know that He's with us, but we want to be a good witness. We want to be able to communicate that to other people with our lives and our words. So Lord, renew my witness today. And it may sound like a simple thing, but I think it's challenging. So 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have gazed upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, and the life was made manifest, And we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us. That which we have seen and have heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, so that our joy might be complete. A few things for us to understand. If we're going to ask the Lord to renew our witness, what does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to bear witness to who Jesus Christ is? Well, for some folks, and in Christianese, as people thought of it years ago, I know I would have friends say, hey, let's go out and do some witnessing. And what they would mean is, let's go knock on some doors, and let's give some gospel tracts to people, or let's start some conversations at the mall with people and say, hey, if you died today, you know, how do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? And then maybe share some scriptures to tell them how they could have a relationship with God through Christ. Well, those things are wonderful, but that's not witnessing. That's sharing the gospel. That's evangelism. That's different. Here in 1 John 1, there's a few things happening. There is some teaching. He's talking about how Jesus, it's been revealed, was with the Father from the beginning. But also there's references to what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard, and what we have touched. He talks about this life that we know about, that's been revealed, this life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been manifest. It's made clear in our lives. It's obvious that we have experienced the Son of God and relationship with him personally. So he's saying we're communicating what we know ourselves, that we have experienced. This is firsthand relationship. Witnessing is sharing something that comes out of your own experience. How Jesus is impacting your life personally. Not just truth. We want to communicate that as well from Scripture. But the reality of what this looks like in your life, of who Jesus is. Witnessing is sharing the story of Jesus, but it's sharing the story of Jesus in the context of your story, of what's happening in your life. And there's a couple of ways that we do that. Two basic parts. One of the ways is that we witness with the way that we do life. Your life speaks. Your life speaks. Sometimes we wish it didn't. But our life speaks to those around us. The witness of your way of life and the witness of the words of your mouth. So first of all, the way of your life is bearing witness. The way of your life is bearing witness. Our lives demonstrate what our words say, whether it's true or not, and the power of that. And our way of life has to. If your relationship with Jesus is just communicated in words and not your life, there's really no power to it. Talk can be cheap. Talk can be cheap. There was a man who gave this testimony, and you can maybe try to guess who this is. And this man said, when I was a child, we used to go every Sunday to the priest's house, and we would learn how to be a good Christian. And he said, I was faithful to go every week. And I would go and learn about being a good Christian, and we would memorize scripture, and we would get sweets to take home. And he said, I once got a prize for getting up in front of the church, and he said, I recited word for word Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. That's quite a thing to be able to do. You think, all right, this is somebody who, man, he must be fired up about Jesus Christ to be able to do something like that. The person who said that, his life did not match up very well with the testimony of his words. His name was Nikita Khrushchev. He was a leader in the Soviet Union who, under his leadership in Russia, persecution was horrific against Christians. Very deliberate. He set up a system in the school systems there to try to brainwash people to not follow Christ and to turn against the church. Being a witness of Jesus means that I not only impart biblical information that I have to people, but it means that my life backs it up. My life is in alignment with my witness. Years ago, Kim and I, when we first got married, our marriage struggled the first couple years. And one of the powerful things that God did, one of the ways he showed up in our life to save our marriage and to help us, is that there was a pastor, Aaron Webb, and his wife, Denise, that they began meeting with us. And they would point us to places in the Bible that told us about having a good Christian marriage, and that was great. We needed to hear that. And they held us accountable to that. But part of what they did was they were a witness. They were a witness. It was so powerful because they opened up their life to us. They said, here's the struggles that our marriage has experienced. It's not always been good for us either. We've had to get marital counseling too. And they were honest with us and just said, but you know what? God was there and he was faithful. And he helped us. And he brought us through those tough times. And he can do that for you. So their witness was backed up. They gave the witness of their words, but also the witness of their lives. They were honest about the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it. But they said, you know what, but in the midst of times of hopelessness, when it was really tough in our marriage, Jesus was present and he gave us hope. He would send somebody along to give a word of encouragement in our marriage. He would give us some scripture that would give us some joy. He would do what only he could do. And they gave that testimony in their lives. So that's part of the witness. Your life and your words working together is your witness. One of my prayers that I pray, and you can pray this for me and maybe for yourself, is that my life will be the witness that God wants it to be. Not just a witness that I believe in Jesus, but the witness that Jesus is superior to everything else. I want that to be the witness of my life. And I'm choosing him over choosing other things. And sometimes I don't. But that's part of what I pray for and hope for and need to be honest about, that the goodness of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus is better than anything else this world's offering. And that I'm choosing that. And that needs to be not only in my words, but in my life. A second part of witness, of being a witness, your mouth. Your mouth is bearing witness. In Acts 3 and 4, and we're just going to skim over this today. You can check this out later, and I hope you do. You can look at it now, actually, if you want to turn to Acts 3 and 4. But Peter and John, the apostles Peter and John, are traveling. They go up to the temple there in Jerusalem, and they come across this man as they walk along. The Bible says this man was lame. And he's begging. He's asking for money. And Peter said, I don't have silver or gold. I don't have money to give you. But what I do have, I'll give. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, in detail, that they helped the man up. His legs were strengthened. And he was healed. He could walk. He could jump. He could praise God. He was miraculously healed by faith in Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus. He's now a witness. This man's a witness. With his life, he was one way. And now, he's trusted in Jesus. He's healed. And now he's another way. And so his life is showing, oh, there's a difference now. But also there's a testimony from his lips that it is Jesus is the one who has done this. As you can imagine, crowds start to gather. People are amazed at this. And so Peter and John begin to explain to everybody, it is Jesus who's, we didn't do this. It's not the greatness of Peter or John. This is Jesus who has done this. And they tell the people, Jesus is risen. He is alive. He has been resurrected from the dead. Well, the religious leaders who had Jesus crucified don't like this. And they hear this testimony. They're upset by this. So they have a council together. They start conferring. They bring Peter and John before them. And they think, you know what? If they keep speaking about Jesus being resurrected and how this man's been healed, which they can't deny, right? They cannot deny this man's witness. They can see it. And they think if the people keep hearing about this, it's going to create problems for us because we had Jesus crucified. So they call Peter and John to come in. And they recognized, the Bible says, that they were unschooled, ordinary guys. But they had been with Jesus. And they look at this man who has been healed. And they hear the testimony of his lips. They can't refute his witness. And they tell Peter and John. They call them back in. Acts 4, verse 18. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think that God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything that we have seen and heard." They're being a witness. They're speaking truth of who Jesus is. But they're being a witness. They're talking about what we have, listen, what we have personally experienced, we can't shut up. Because of what Jesus has done in their life, what Jesus has done in the life of this man who was lame. They have to tell the story of what Jesus is doing. You guys know the old song, "I Love to Tell the Story"? Familiar with that? "I Love to Tell the Story." Song, or it's hymn 619 in your hymn books. If you want to look that up. Mark Ergel, thank you. Mark let me know that today. Hymn 619, "I Love to Tell the Story." Yeah, the chorus, "I Love to Tell the Story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love." I love to tell that story. And then, I'm not sure if it's in our hymns, if it's this way, but a version that I looked at earlier, the last verse says, "I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Not just for those who are unsaved, but for my brothers and sisters, for other believers. I love to tell the story for those who know it best because they seem hungering and thirsting too, to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long." Everyone in your life needs you to be a witness. Everyone in your life, believers and non-believers, needs for you to tell the story of Jesus. Not just the story of what Jesus did in people's lives thousands of years ago, or in your mom and dad's life, or in the pastor's life, but tell the story of what Jesus is doing in your life. People need to hear that story. Sometimes we think, well, maybe it'll be offensive if I talk about Jesus too much to people. I was driving in yesterday here to the property, listening to Christian radio. Probably Moody. 97.9 or 91.7 on your local FM dial. And a lady was on there, a couple people, giving a testimony about something that happened at college. There was a woman who had a friend, a Christian woman who had a friend who was Hindu. And they were both on there talking about it. And the Christian woman said that one day she asked her friend, she said, "You know, I'm," and it wasn't that she was hitting her over the head with a Bible or like preaching to her all the time, but she just loved Jesus. And so she's just always talking about Jesus to everybody. And so she talked to her Hindu friend and she said, "Does it bother you that I talk about Jesus all the time?" She said, "You know, is it offending? You know," she's like, I'm not trying to, you know, bash you over the head or anything. I love to talk about Jesus. Does it bother you?" And her friend who was Hindu said, "No, it doesn't. It doesn't bother me at all. As a matter of fact, I know that you're talking to me about Jesus because you love me. And I want to hear more about Jesus." And the friend who was a Hindu put her trust in Jesus Christ and became a Christian. And not only did she become a Christian, but she led her husband to Christ. She led her children to Christ. Her whole family was saved. People around you want to hear what Jesus is doing in your life. And they need to hear about it. They need to hear your heart and your experiences, how in the grief that you went through, how Jesus was faithful to see you through that. how through the heartaches and the struggles and difficulties, even though as a Christian we experience a lot of the troubles that everybody else does, the difference that Jesus makes, the hope that he gives you, the joy, the peace, the love of Jesus. People need to hear about that. That can be tough because it means we have to be honest and open about our struggles and our failings and our shortcomings. Now, I think about the beautiful treasure that is the Word of God, and I do want to, with everybody, maybe especially non-believers, I do want to open the Word of God. You know, it's not my words that have any power for anybody to be saved. It's the gospel message. And I think of that being a wonderful treasury, just full of riches of God, to take somebody into the Word. But our witness is kind of like a hangout on the front porch. And sometimes people, you know, they don't know about the treasury. It's like, I don't want to go in there. I don't know what's waiting for me. But you can invite them into a casual conversation of, let's just hang out. And you share what Jesus is doing in your life. And you have that, just a simple conversation on the front porch or wherever you are. And show them the beauty of Jesus in your life. And then maybe, as God leads, you can invite them into that treasury of the Word of God. And God will use that to bring them to salvation. So I want to share, as we get ready to close here in a moment, two conclusions and one decision that I hope for as a witness. Two conclusions and one decision that I'm hoping for, that people will have because of my witness, of my life and my words. The first conclusion, if I'm a good witness to people, if I'm an honest, good witness with people around me, those who do not know Christ yet, those who are not believers yet, should come to the conclusion that I see the world very differently than they do, that my beliefs are very different than their beliefs. Because if I'm compromising to fit in that friendship and they think, oh, well, they view everything the same way I do, if I'm doing that, then my thinking is not in alignment with Scripture. If my thinking, the Bible says that God wants to transform us, to renew our minds, so that our thinking is in alignment with His thinking. And when that happens, those who don't know Christ, their thinking isn't going to be in alignment with that. It doesn't mean you're looking for conflict. It just means people should see the difference. And that should be communicated in your friendship with them. They should understand, you're different than me. That should be one of their conclusions. But they should also have a second conclusion in that friendship, if you're a good witness. They should know, this friend loves me. This person loves me. They may be a Christian, they may be weird, they may see life differently than I do, but you know what? They really care about me. They love me. And I think if they have those two conclusions, I'm probably doing a decent job being a witness. The love of God's coming through in the friendship and the truth of God. And then there's one decision. One decision that I'm hoping they'll have if I'm a good witness. I want to hear more about Jesus. If I'm a good witness with my life and with my words, hopefully, there'll be that conversation on the front porch or a Cracker Barrel or somewhere where they say, tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more. Then I can unpack the gospel message for them. I'm going to pray, and worship team, you're welcome to come back up. Lord Jesus, thank you. First and foremost, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you that it's because of your love and your sacrifice and your taking my sin and our sins upon yourself, Lord. It's because of that we're brought into this friendship with you. Thank you, Lord, that it's by grace through faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't end there, that you say that you are always with us, that you never forsake us, God, and that we are doing life with you every day, and that even as we live life imperfectly, that you are still, you don't abandon us, you're still with us, and you're still giving us reason in all the ups and downs of life, you're giving us reason to be joyful and hopeful and to experience your love and your peace, and that there's an intentionality, Lord, that it's not just for our blessing, and it is for our blessing, God, we know that, but it's for those around us too. That as we do life with you, that we can be a witness. That we can be a witness, and that witness encourages other believers as we share what you're doing in our lives. It brings joy to other believers. It gives hope. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would do what only you can do for those who don't know you, that as we are going about life as witnesses for you, that your Holy Spirit is going to draw unbelievers to say, tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus. I want to know more. Lord, we pray that you would do that for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.